Let us just bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Ein tad nefol a sanctaid, dyn ni'n diolch i ti am y bore hwn. Dear Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the fellowship that we've shared. And we ask you now, dear Father, to guide us. And I ask you, dear Father, to put the right words into my mouth. We thank you for the scripture. And we thank you now for being here through your Holy Spirit. Dyn ni'n diolch i ti, o dad, nefol am bob bendydd dyn ni eisoes wedi ei dderbyn y bore yma. Dyn ni gofyn ar i ti fod yma yn y canol. We ask for your name, dear Father, to be exalted. Bydd gyda ni, o dad, nefol, bendithia ni. A dyn ni'n gofyn hyn, we ask this in and through the name of Jesus. Amen. My text for this morning is from the Gospel, as from the reading we heard from the Gospel according to Matthew, the fifth chapter. And I want to remain for a little while this morning on the 11th verse. Because see, the 11th verse reminds us, people will insult you. They will hurt you. They will lie and say all kinds of evil things about you because you follow me. People will insult you. They will hurt you. They will lie and say all kinds of evil things about you because you follow me. I'd like to start by asking you all a question this morning. And the question quite simply is God number one in your life? Is God number one in your life? Or is God the most important person that is in your life? But before we try to attempt to answer that question, and I want you to hold that question in the forefront of your mind, because I want to recall a well-known Old Testament story found in the book of Daniel. Is God number one in our lives? Is God the most important person in our lives? Now we're going to turn to the book of Daniel, because the person that ruled Babylon during the years of 597 to 586 before Christ was King Nebuchadnezzar. Now it's taken me a lot to learn to say that in Welsh without beginning to tell you how it reads in English. But the king that ruled during those years was King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar had decided that he and his army were going to go up to the city of Jerusalem, surround the city and capture the Israelite people that were living there. Now, after they besieged the city, they took from the temple of God most of its treasures. And what they took were the gold cups and the plates, the things, quite simply, that were used in the temple sacrifices and services. But King Nebuchadnezzar also said, not only go up to Jerusalem and capture the city, not only bring back with you the spoils of war, but he also told his chief officer to capture and bring back with them some of the Israelite people. Well, to be correct, some of the Israelite men. But notice, not any old men, but the men that came from important families, including the men of the king of Judah. And all these men that had to be brought back were similar to the men that we have here in the hall this morning, because all the men had to be handsome, they had to be well educated, they had to be capable of learning quickly, they had to be of good understanding. And the reason for that, because these men, King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to serve him at his royal palace in Babylon. And one of these men that was captured was Daniel. And Daniel very soon was set to work, and indeed within a very, very short time, Daniel proved to be a very, very good and faithful worker. He was quick to learn. Daniel was honest. And he proved to be very, very trustworthy. But by now, King Nebuchadnezzar had been replaced by King Belshazzar. And he also was very, very delighted. He was pleased with Daniel's performance. He was pleased with the ability that Daniel was able to work. He was pleased with his knowledge and supreme ability also to interpret dreams. And we can say in a way that Daniel was given the royal thumbs up. And do you know, as a reward for his excellence, Daniel was made third highest ruler in the mighty kingdom of Babylonia. And the scripture tells us because of this, he was dressed in royal purple and a chain of solid gold was placed around his neck. By now, a few years, we go on into the story, and all this story, you turn to the book of Daniel and you'll read the story as it develops. By now, many years have passed, and Darius is now king over Babylonia. And King Darius, like any new person, King Darius wanted to leave his mark. And King Darius wanted to do something completely different from what everybody else had done. And after thinking long and hard, he decided to divide the country up into 420 different areas, similar, I would say, to our counties today. And then he chose 120 men to govern these counties, with three men as supreme governors over the 120 areas. And Daniel was made one of these supreme governors. Very soon it became evidently clear who was good at their jobs and who was not. And Daniel quite naturally was very quickly, and he was chosen as one that was very, very good at his job. People trusted him. He was honest. Daniel was reliable. He was caring. And Daniel, every time, always, always made wise and sensible decisions. Daniel never, ever was underhand. Daniel never went behind anyone's back. And very soon, it also became evidently clear that God's hand was very much upon Daniel. And it was not just only in the big problems and in the inquiries, but also in the everyday run-of-the-mill decisions that Daniel really shone. And you know, people noticed. The king noticed. And Daniel, as a reward for his loyalty, for his hard work, was made now number one in King Darius's kingdom. He was made number one in the country's government. Almost we can say that Daniel was made prime minister. But Oh, and there's always a but in every story, isn't there? We always have these buts. We think that everything is going so good, and then we have a but. But we have to remember that Daniel, of course, was not a two-blooded Babylonian. Daniel, of course, was an Israelite that many years ago had been captured and brought to Babylon. And the other governors, the supervisors that were quite naturally jealous of Daniel, knew this. And because they were jealous, because we are as we are, they began to find fault. They began to accuse Daniel. But you know, they could find no wrong. They could find no wrong with Daniel at all. They could find no reason to accuse or to charge him. The only thing that they knew about Daniel was that he was different. And that Daniel prayed 3 times a day to God. What did Jesus tell us? People will insult you. They will hurt you. They will lie. They will say all types, all sorts of evil things about you because you follow me. The supervisors and the governors, they came up with a plan. And the supervisors and the governors went as a group to see the king. King Darius, King Darius, they shouted, King Darius, they proclaimed, King Darius, may you live forever and ever. And the supervisors, the governors, the assistant governors, the advisories, the captains of the army, and they all agreed that they should make a new law that everyone should or must obey. And that new law was, for the next 30 days, that no one should pray or worship to any god or human being except for King Darius. Wow. Anyone that did not obey would be thrown to the lion's den. And this new law got the king's approval. This new law got the king's seal, and it was duly signed by the king himself. Well, of course, this left Daniel with 3 options. Either he was going to rebuke God completely and turn away from him. Or he had to become a secret Christian and not let his views be known. Or thirdly, he was to carry on as he'd always done and risk the consequences. And you know that's what Daniel did. 3 times a day, Daniel would ascend to his room as usual. He would open his window that faced towards Jerusalem. And there he would kneel to God in prayer and give thanks as he always had done so. But of course, very soon, the king learnt of what was happening. The king very soon realised that he'd been tricked. And because of this, the king became very distressed. Daniel had broken the king's law, the law that had his seal and signature on it. And the consequence, of course, that Daniel was led to the lion's den. But as we know, God protected Daniel. Because Daniel had been faithful and true to God, God sent an angel to shut tight the lion's mouths, and Daniel was saved. But you know the amazing thing about all this is that King Darius himself came to believe in God. King Darius himself came to believe in God when he saw what Daniel's God has done. And King Darius sent out a decree to all his subjects and that throughout the country, stating that everybody must fear and everybody must respect and bow down to the God of Daniel. Yes, without doubt, God was number one in Daniel's life. Daniel put God first in every issue, even to the extent that he risked everything that he had worked hard for. Even to the extent that he had to risk his own life. Daniel knew the consequence. He knew the consequence that if he broke the law. But he also knew that the only one true living God that served would not fail him. Now, is God number one in our lives? Is God number one in my life? When we, my friends, when I have to make difficult or when I have to make a decision that on either on a personal level that involves myself, ourselves, our family, do we ask God's help? Do we ask to see God's hand on our decisions? Are we like Daniel, willing to give God's view on our decisions? It's all very well, it's all, as we know, it's very easy to use a very modern day term. It's all very easy to go with the flow. But are we willing to stand? Are we willing to stand against that flow? Are we willing to stand against the flow and to put our Christian point of view first? When we and everyone are faced with difficult decisions to make, do we possess a godly character? Are we like Daniel, ready to make wise decisions? Is God's hand seen upon each and every one of us? Remember Daniel. Daniel was very much like the candle. He was faithful. He kept on burning. He sought God. Daniel kept praying to God 3 times a day. He read God's word. He prayed. And he gave thanks. Some people wear a bracelet. And on that bracelet there are four letters on the WWJD printed upon it. Quite simply, those letters stand for, what would Jesus do? Let us remember this morning. Next time that we have to decide. And sometimes decisions can be very difficult. It's easy to perhaps choose the easier option. But next time we have to choose, let us ask ourselves, what does God require of us? What does God want us to do for him? We can't decide for ourselves. We have to have help. Remember to ask ourselves first, what would Jesus want us to do? And I just wonder what really might happen if we, along with everybody else, not only here, not only in Penarth, not only in Wales, not if everybody throughout the world put the Lord God first, just like Daniel did. Because I really believe that if we put God first in our lives and in our community, then we will see his kingdom come. And this we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.